doing that, I was face to face with it. It was holding me by my throat, and it felt like it was sucking something out of me.
I probably should have been more scared than I was when I witnessed the exorcism.
I turned and looked on my right side. When I did, there's a beam on the side of the tree, a large beam. It's looking at me, and I'm looking at it.
After I hit the lock button and looked back up, I saw red eyes staring back at me.
That they're going to show multiple gods all over the earth, be able to speak in people's languages, and at that point, it kind of converge into this one entity, which will be revealed as extraterrestrial. You'll realize that aliens are the gods of old, and at that point, it'll wipe religion out of the context of humanity.
No way, it couldn't have been a person, I know that. I know that people can't run through the woods like that.
So this thing comes into view, and I see it. It's 50 yards away from me. It's walking on two legs. It's huge. This is a big, hairy looking being.
Welcome. I'm your host, and this is Uncomfortable.
Hello. I have a vendor opportunity for you coming this September 14th, 2024. I am hosting a maker's market in Southwest Michigan and would love to have for you and your products to be a part of it. You've been chosen to receive this based on your products and proximity to the state of Michigan. This is a family-friendly market and completely free to the public, held in Dowagiac, Michigan at the Sister Lakes Brewing Company. This maker's market will be held in conjunction with this year's Bigfoot and Brews conference event. Bigfoot and Brews is in its third year and is one of, if not, the premier Bigfoot conference in Michigan. The location is 1 mile from the original sightings of the Dewey Lake Monster back in 1964. The surrounding community still, till this day, embraces those sightings and the topic of Bigfoot. This maker's market will be promoted on its own merit as well as in conjunction with the conference. Promotion of this event will also run on my podcast, Uncomfortable, with over 30,000 downloads a month. The vendor area will be free and open to the public, as well as being easily accessible by the paid attendees at the conference. Vendor setup will be at 9 a.m., doors will open at 10, and the event will run until 6 p.m. on the 14th. Vendor spaces are $60 for a 10x10 space. You are encouraged to bring a 10x10 canopy, table, and chairs for two. The event is outdoors and adjacent to the brewery's beautiful beer garden. Our event has had an excess of 100 paid attendees in each of the past 2 years, and we are expecting substantial growth for this year's event. Please consider joining us as a vendor for the 2024 Bigfoot and Brews event. Links to the event Facebook page and the vendor registration form are conveniently in the body of this post. Simply fill out the vendor registration and submit it. Once you are approved, you will be able to purchase your vendor space in the add-on section of the Eventbrite ticket link for this event. If you have any questions, please reach out to us at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. Please consider this opportunity to join us making this year's Bigfoot and Brews the biggest and the best yet. Thank you. Welcome back to the show, my friends. I am your host, Eric Szilagyi. If you've had an uncomfortable experience and you'd like to have it shared on the show here, please get a hold of me at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. The world wants to hear your experience. It wants to hear your story. So please reach out to me and let's get yours on the next episode of Uncomfortable. If you haven't yet, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, both at Uncomfortable Podcast 65. And when you do, please make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review. That alone is the one most important thing that you, the listener, can do to help get this show out into the algorithm and out in front of more people. With more people listening, that means more great stories coming your way. Uncomfortable Linktree is up and the single best place that you can find anything and everything uncomfortable all in one spot. That's all of my uncomfortable episodes, links to our YouTube channel, links to the Penford Media documentary series that I'm featured in, and links to every other podcast that I have had the pleasure of being a guest on, That is linktree.com/uncomfortable1, and uncomfortable is spelled like the logo looks with the lowercase u and the uppercase n. That is also probably the easiest way to find the Eventbrite link for tickets to Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits too. Don't forget to check out the combo ticket for the September 4th day of event and the VIP dinner the night before. The combo ticket is a discounted price from the regular price tickets and still includes your dinner and drink. Make sure you go check out our sponsor at eufyofficial.com/videolock to see what all the fuss is about. Links to our Patreon, YouTube, and Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2, and all things uncomfortable will be found on the link tree. That will be listed in the show notes for you. As far as Bigfoot and Brews is concerned, we are looking to fill out our Maker's Market that will run in conjunction with the event. So if you're interested in a vendor opportunity, please make sure you get a hold of us at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. There will be a linked video in the show notes to tell you a little bit more about that opportunity. Also, we are looking for sponsors for Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits too. There's a good deal of cost that goes into putting on these kinds of events. And if you would like to help the event financially, we would very much like to hear from you. Again, please reach out to me at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com for more information. Tonight's guest is Kevin, and we will be getting into his life of strange experiences, including a shapeshifter. And you heard it here first, guys. Mushroom people. I cannot wait to get into that one. So, if you're ready, let's get into it. So if you would, please give a warm, uncomfortable welcome to Kevin Sapiel. Kevin?
Good. Thank you. Sorry, I jumped the gun on that one.
How are you, sir? Mushroom people.
Yeah, it's
Not yet.
it's interesting. I'll say that.
We've got some other things to talk about before we get into that, but just the mere mention mushroom people takes me to a very popular video game and a short TV series that came out recently, The Last of Us. And they're anything like that, that's horrifying. So I have two pictures in my mind. Don't spoil either one of them. One is the type of creatures that were in The Last of Us, and the other one would be tiny little gnome-looking things in your garden with mushroom caps on their heads. So I'm sure they got to fall somewhere in between. But you've had a number of different weird experiences, everything from shadow people all the way through the mushroom people. So where are we going to start? Shadow people?
Yes, shadow people. So we'll start with the first experience that I can even remember, which is, you know, sometimes when you think about it, because I don't remember a lot of things from before I was five, and a lot of people don't, but there's a lot of people that randomly do remember, especially when it's some, I feel like when it's weird or traumatic, they tend to remember it when they're that young. But
I was fully obsessed with UFOs at the age of five. And the only reason I can absolutely quantify it is because in 1970, there was a movie that came out that was called Chariots of the Gods. Mm-hmm. That movie came out in theaters, and I begged and pleaded with my parents to take me and ended up convincing my grandma to take me. That's how I know. I was like 5.5 years old, and I was already completely obsessed with UFOs. So
that's amazing. I had a thing.
I don't know that I remember anything prior to that. I seem to have a memory of being in a playpen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My mom used to, this is really going to date me. My mom, when I was a little kid, she used to do a at home workout in front of the TV to, a guy who was probably like one of the first, workout guys on TV that was Jack LaLanne. And he had a, I don't know if it was a daily or a weekly program, and she was doing exercises in the living room. I was in the playpen, and we had just gotten a dog. Now, I would not have known what kind of dog it was until I saw pictures of it and heard about it years later, but it was a hunting breed. And my mom had a roast that was on the kitchen countertop that was thawing for dinner. And I remember being in the playpen and this big honking dog walks into the living room with that chunk of meat in its mouth. And all I can remember was her yelling and screaming at the dog. And then like when my dad came home and found out that we didn't have dinner that next day, they took the dog back.
Wow.
So we didn't have the dog anymore. There's like one picture of me riding on the back of the dog, and that is it. He lasted with us for 3 days, I believe it was.
Dang, that's quick, but that's interesting to remember that. Cause like, there's not a whole lot that I remember some things mainly because of like the home videos, because early '80s, early '90s, you know, that's when the home videos were like huge. Everybody had their own like little video cameras and at home and, sure. and whatnot. So there's things that I only remember because I saw them on screen. You know,
right at that time, they weren't that little. They were actually
they were like
shoulder, yeah. Take up your old shoulder.
My dad used to hold it up like this. It was pretty funny, but, I mean, well, it's funny now. I mean, back then it was normal, but like, it's pretty comical to think about now, especially like there's parts where he was in the, just looking at himself in the mirror, adjusting things that got recorded and stuff. And he's just holding it like this. It's pretty funny, but, no, there's not a whole lot other than, a few things that I remember, at that age, and Shadow People happens to be one of them. And I remember, so this was like my first ever experience, and I don't know what it was. I was really like into paranormal and sci-fi subjects pretty early on. We watched Buffy the I remember watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, with Pee Wee Herman as the vampire.
Yeah.
I remember
he had the best scene of any movie. Oh my god,
yeah,
his death scene. Yeah. Oh my god, that was hilarious. I still laugh my ass off every time I see it.
Yeah, I mean even as a little kid I thought it was hilarious. So we used to watch it just to watch that part a lot too.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters was pretty big at that time when I was young. And actually I think the cartoon had just came out because the first movie came out the year that I was born.
God, you're making me feel old. Thanks.
You're welcome. Anything I can do to help with that, I'll gladly do. But I think it was the second one that we had actually ended up watching that night, actually, me and my sister together watched it, and I had an older brother. I can't remember if he watched it with us or not, but I remember my sister going to her bedroom, and she just started flipping out crying. And my mom's like, what's going on? And she's like, there was a witch in my window. And I remember my dad had just gotten home at this time too. And so I'm associating with it. I'm like, oh, she's just saying that because there was a witch in the movie that we just watched, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go to bed. My dad was in there kind of just trying to console her, calm her down and stuff like that. And I walked by her room, and my room and my brother's room was all the way to the back of the trailer. And we lived out in the middle of nowhere on the side of a mountain in Vermont. And at this time, and I get to the doorway, and I just see these two figures go by the window, and they were darker than the dark. Like I couldn't see anything outside the window because it was so dark, but I could see figures just go by the window really quick. And I just like stopped. And I was like, and then I turned around and ran back to the living room and I sat on the bed. I mean, on the couch. And my dad comes out after he's done with my sister. And he's like, what's going on? I was like, I'm just sitting on the couch. He's like, go to bed. And I was like, oh, crap. but nothing else happened that night. And my sister and I, we were talking and she's like, I saw a face. And I was like, yeah, but you said she, cause she doesn't remember saying which. I remember her saying which she might not have said is just like one of those things that I just put in my head, but yeah. She does remember the whole thing. She remembers crying about it and you know, and stuff. And so.
Now, was she younger than you or older?
She's younger. She's a year and a half younger than me, but, so she had to be like 3 or 4 and I was either 4 or 5 at this time. And, so the trailer that we lived in was actually like on this kind of like foundation. It wasn't a foundation for a basement or anything, but it made the trailer sit a lot higher than normal. So in order to be a normal person and to be in the window, you'd have to be well over 6 feet tall to even be able to peer at the windowsill, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I saw those figures, I just picture 2 witches, because she said she saw a witch. So all I could think of was there's 2 witches out there on brooms just flying around the house going, you know, that's all I could picture the whole time. And it scared me. And but I mean, nothing ever happened in that house. But I was at night, I would always kind of like do this kind of thing as I walked into my room so that I wouldn't look out the window. And then after that, I've seen shadow people my entire life from then till now.
Okay. So that kind of kills, what I was going to say. Like on the side of a mountain,
yeah,
basically your trailer was perched on the side of a mountain, wooded all around you.
Yep. There was a farm in front of us, kind of like diagonally, and there was a trailer next to us, but it was all woods behind us and all woods to the side. And we had to go through down a dirt road that was probably about 2 miles of no other houses, is just woods to get to our trailer. And then there was a farm that kind of sat way back for a little bit further, but, and their cows kind of came up sort of close to us, but not super close. Just close enough that we could see the cows kind of grazing and stuff like that out there. But other than that, it was just our 2 houses and the house,
no chance. Those dark silhouettes that you saw moving around could have been Bigfoot.
You know, I don't know. Just because the height of it alone. Yeah, maybe. But like, I didn't see a distinct, like any distinct descriptive anything within that silhouette of them. It just looked like two kind of figures of something just go by really quick. So I don't know. I couldn't even tell you if it was a person.
Okay.
I just knew they were dark.
There was something there.
Yeah. And if my sister, but you said, now that I think of it, my sister saying she saw a face in the window, you know, a Bigfoot exactly. is, I think, more plausible now that I think of it. It's definitely, there's definitely something to that, I think.
I mean, I don't know anything about the area you were in, but from the description, as little as you've said, you're way out by yourselves, mm-hmm. wooded area, farm area, food source. Was there water around you anywhere?
I do believe there was, I wouldn't call it a river, but there was at least a creek a little bit. There was a trail next to our house, that wasn't really maintained, but we could walk down it. And there was a little bit of a river. I remember finding it one day and running into this big freaking spider web that had this really like weird, huge black and yellow spider on it. but yeah, there's water coming down the side of that mountain.
So you got a water source, you've got a farm, which I assume they had animals, right?
Yep.
So you have animals that are in a penned in structure. You got a food source and you got a lot of, habitation area around. I don't know, not trying to change your story for you at all, but
no, but it's definitely intriguing to think about, you know what I mean? Like I've never even considered that as being, cause my sister, like, cause from my perspective, like what I remember is my sister saying a witch, and my sister's like, I saw a face. Like I couldn't tell you if it was a witch. She like, maybe I just said witch because I was associating it with Ghostbusters. Cause there was a witch and I saw a face. And so maybe I just said witch. And she's like, but it was definitely a face that looked like it was pressed up against the window when I walked in my bedroom. And I was like,
see, and that story takes me straight back to one of my early episodes. With a gentleman from Michigan up north, around the Traverse City area, when he was a kid, there was a woman with long flowing hair, looking in the window.
Wow.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's super intriguing. I never even considered the possibility of it being a Bigfoot. But now that you say that, it's more, I don't know. Maybe a little bit of both, because I don't know. Cause there's so many stories out there that have like these paranormal things that coincide with Bigfoot. When you see a Bigfoot, all of a sudden, like these weird things are also happening. So,
yeah,
I mean,
maybe. A lot of people talk about that. A lot of people talk about it.
Yeah. Maybe there's something to that.
All right. Sorry. Didn't mean to derail you.
That's totally fine.
Go on with your experiences.
So I think shortly after that, we moved in with my grandparents in Maine. And my dad and my mom were trying to find a new house. So we were living there for a brief amount of time. And I remember going down to the basement to get my uncle or my grandfather, like a tool or something that they kept in the basement. And every time I'd go in the basement, I'd see these figures either just standing in the corner, sitting underneath the stairs, or like leaning up against the lolly columns, you know, kind of like this, but there was no features to them. Like they just looked like a shadow. And they didn't move. They just stood there. And I remember every time I would go down there to get something for my grandfather, I would sing, thinking like, they're not going to hurt me if I'm singing. Like if I serenade them, they're not going to touch me. You know what I mean? So I'd hum or I'd sing and I'd be like, oh,
the mind of a child.
Yeah, right. And so I saw them all the time. Then we moved out, and then we moved back in after my parents divorced and whatnot. And my older brother ended up getting a room down there, and his part where his bedroom in the basement was, they finished and they, you know, made it into, you know, a livable space, and the rest of it wasn't finished. And I hated the basement, absolutely hated the basement, but my brother's room was the only place we were allowed to play video games. So I had to play video games when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. So I would brave seeing these figures every day just to go play video games. And I saw them pretty consistently almost every day, at least one. Again, they, as a child, I was scared, obviously, but they never did anything.
Okay. Let me stop you there. So at your grandparents' house,
you
said they never moved.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you saw them, were they in the exact same position?
Yep. They were in different places all the time.
Okay. Okay.
But you never saw
them move. You never saw an arm or anything like reach out or
no,
they were always just static.
Yep. Yeah, it was almost like they were frozen kind of thing. But if I like, okay. if I got really close to them, it would like disappear. It's kind of like what's happening in my house now, in the hallway. Like if I approach them, they kind of like dissipate, like they'll just like disappear. But if I really? Stay where I am, they'll stay right there. Unless like in my house, if I say, hey, you're not welcome, you need to leave, they'll go. But, and sometimes too, when I would go down into the basement, I would see something move out of the corner of my eye, and I would just associate it with one of them. You know what I mean? Like yeah. something darted into the darker part of the basement or the back room there where my grandfather kept all of his stuff, that sometimes I had to go and retrieve something for him, and it scared the crap out of me because it was the darkest part of the basement. And I was like, I don't know where these things are because it's all shadows now.
Yeah.
But
so when you moved to the other house and your brother's bedroom was in the basement and you continued to see them, were you seeing the same shapes?
Yeah. Yeah. Just
so in your mind, were they the same entities that you were seeing at your grandparents or?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause it's the same house.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you stayed there for a while and then you moved to a different place and that's where your brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the way I said it, I can see where you could have gotten confused. Cause I was like, and then we moved out and then we moved back in.
Okay. All right.
but yeah, no, they were always mostly in the same spots. The ones that were especially creepy were the ones that would lean up against the lolly columns because they weren't always there. Cause I saw that one less, and there's a lolly column right next to my brother's, bedroom. And then, cause you got the cross beam to support the upstairs. And then there's one towards the backside. And as I'm walking from the bottom of the stairs across to my brother's door, it would just be like, I would look at the lolly column. It wouldn't be there, but as I would cross, it would just be like on the other side, just kind of like with it looking like I couldn't see arms, but from the, like the silhouette of it, it kind of just looked like it was like this leaned up against the lolly column. And I was just like, now as soon as I would see it, I would just start walking a little bit faster, looking out of the corner of my eye, making sure it wasn't coming near me. And then I would get inside. A lot of times too, when I would rush and I would slam my brother's door, he'd be like, what is wrong with you? And I'd be like, I don't know. There's something out there. And he's like, there's nothing out there. Shut up. And for him.
Okay. So he never saw them.
As far as I know, he never saw them. My sister said there was definitely some weird stuff that happened in that house too. And so this is one of her favorite stories to tell because it was right around this time as well. We were getting ready for school one morning and, she saw a black mass. We're walking down the hall and she saw this black mass go from the kitchen into the living room. So the hallway connects into the kitchen. So you can't see into the living room. So she saw this, black mass go right through the doorway into the, living room. And she screamed, dropped her backpack, and started running down the hall. And I was right behind her. And I just screamed, and I ran too. And I didn't see anything. And we run to the back of the hallway to my mother's room. And my mother's like, what the hell is going on? What are you doing? And my sister's trying to explain. And she can't really. Like, she's just, like, hysterical. And she's like, all right, calm down. What? And she looks at me, and she goes, what happened? And I go, I have no idea. She screamed and ran. So I did. And my sister's like, she goes, if anybody that I know is to survive a horror movie, it would be Kevin, because he didn't ask any questions. He just dropped everything and ran.
Just ran like hell.
So, yeah. So my sister also saw, shadow figures, and she saw some things, in that house as well. And, you know, me and my sister are pretty close. We were pretty close back then. Some things happened to her that, you know, I could see why now that I know the whole story and stuff, like why she became a little bit more distant. But we're pretty close now. And we talk about this stuff. She actually, you know, co-hosted with me for a little bit as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I kind of want
to bring her back. Full disclosure. Kevin is the host of, tell everybody,
Where the Weird Ones Are podcast.
And Where the Weird Ones Are, where, got to edit that. And Where the Weird Ones Are is a, pretty much on topic with, what you would expect to hear here on Uncomfortable. He does delve into conspiracy at some point. But a lot of high strangeness, a lot of weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Kevin, while we're at it, why don't you give everybody an opportunity to hear where they can find you.
Absolutely. And
where they can listen to your show.
So, my socials are, where_the_weird_ones_are on Instagram, where the weird ones are on Facebook. I'm on Discord. What else am I on? I'm on Threads. I don't even like pay attention to that, but sometimes I do. It's a work in progress, 'cause it's a new thing. And I just feel like they keep coming up with these new social media outlets, and I'm just like, I can't keep up with them. And I'm still trying to figure out Discord. But for the show, it's, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. I was on Rumble for a little bit, but with all the other, trying to put everything on the other platforms, gets a little tedious sometimes. So
it doesn't it?
Yeah. I forgot about it for a little bit, and then I was just like, oh, you know what? Might as well just stop. If, you know, it's already been like X amount of episodes, I'm not just going to be like, oh, surprise. But I also have,
so you do a video on YouTube as well.
Yep. Unless the guest asks for anonymity, you know, to be anonymous,
anonymity,
yeah, that word, you know, I won't do a video for them. So far it's only been one that asked not to be on video. Everybody else has been pretty open. So, but I'm not opposed to it. I didn't, you know, your privacy is, you know, comes first with everything.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, so
you got to make people comfortable to get them to talk about uncomfortable things.
Absolutely.
You see what I did there?
I did. It was very good. I liked it. But yeah. So I think that's all the places. I have a website too, where the weird ones are podcast.com. But I, you know, have a little blog on there. Eventually I'm going to put videos on there just in case YouTube wants to, shut my channel down, which they've kicked one of my episodes off, so far. So fingers crossed.
What was it about?
We were talking about chakras, crystals, and then she ended up talking about the jib jab a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, gotta stay away from that.
Absolutely. And she's like, oh, I read this article that said this and this and this. And she wasn't like, this is factual, actual happening, you know, kind of thing or anything like that. But, you know, they don't want you talking about anything that goes against the narrative. So
yeah,
they'll kick you real quick.
Yeah. I've even found that, oddly enough, I've even found that the case with some people that I follow, because I do the carnivore diet.
Yep.
And if they go too far off of the rails as far as talking, not so much about the diet, but talking about how we've been deceived by what our nutritional guidelines that have been set up by the powers that be. If they get too far into that, they get a lot of their stuff taken down, and that's kind of shady.
Very shady. It's very shady. I mean, processed foods alone in America alone, we don't have enough regulations on food for sure. Like, there's right. So much chemicals and stuff that get passed through. And believe it or not, like, dairy's not that great for you, even though it's on the table as, you know, one of the best things for you. In fact, milk alone, which is, it's just, it's interesting because they've, you know, studies, like actual studies, scientific studies have shown that milk has cancer causing properties. But, you know, when I talk about it, everybody's like, oh, everything causes cancer. Well, why don't we do something where nothing causes cancer, you know, because everything that causes cancer has been, human manufactured, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe we should do something about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird and I want, you know, everybody to live happy and healthy, but you know,
well, I can say unequivocally that the first of this month, May 1st, was 6 months of me, not eating sugar, not drinking pop, not eating any processed foods. Mm-hmm. And in 6 months to the day, I started November 1st and on May 1st, I hit the 70-pound mark of having lost 70 pounds.
Wow.
The arthritis in my hands are gone. The arthritis in my knees are gone. The secondary back pain and inflammation that I had because of an injury in my back are gone. I feel borderline superhuman.
Wow, dude, that's awesome. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I mean, there's so many properties of that benefit us through meat. You know, like steak or
well, exactly.
Just, you know what I mean? Like there's natural creatine. There's, oh man, there's so much protein. It's just a little sliver of steak.
It's the most nutritious food you can eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, don't burn it. Don't burn it. You want to keep it a little red because that's, right. You know, that's where, you, first of all, it tastes so right. much better than that. So I don't understand people that like their steaks or burgers well done, but, you know.
And then the other thing is oxalates. Oxalates are a compound that really affect the human body in a negative aspect.
Yep.
And by eliminating vegetables entirely, fruit, I mean, I literally am meat, butter, salt, water, eggs, some cheese, bacon.
Perfect.
That's it. Perfect. And I'm, as the recording of this, I'm 3 days away from going to the doctor to have my my panels done, my blood work done.
Yeah, I bet you your testosterone is pretty high too.
Dude, you have no idea. I'm going to be 59 next month. Mm. My testosterone, and we don't have to get into how I can tell, but my testosterone is got to be through the roof.
Yeah. Perfect.
It is insane. It's like being 18 again.
Nice.
It is literally, you know, everybody that does anything for themselves to better themselves, you know, coin the phrase, oh, it's been life changing. Aside from the weight loss, mm-hmm. the way I feel physically, the mental clarity that I have, unreal, unreal. Different from 6 months ago.
Dude, that's awesome to hear. That's awesome to hear. I've been
not to get on a soapbox, but somehow we got there.
Yeah, no, it happens sometimes when you have a regular conversation about things. Right. You know, you veer off here and there. I think the only thing that I have that I intake processed is my beer, you know. That's pretty much.
I do kind of miss beer once in a while.
Yeah. But I've been thinking about getting on the carnivore diet, which would benefit me a lot as well. But I do like my fruits and veggies. So I haven't gotten on the on the train yet, but I'm probably gonna at some point, just because, you know, I hear so many other people talk about it and like the benefits. I think what's his name? Jordan Peterson's daughter has been on the carnivore diet. Yeah. For like years now. And she talks about it, all the benefits that it's done for her.
Yeah. She literally healed herself of a ton of different things that doctors were not able to take care of for.
Right.
The last thing I'll say on this process stuff is, there's a energy drink out that's called Celsius.
Yep.
And it is, you know, it was tasty. I tried it. Didn't drink a lot of it. Had it a couple of times. My son was drinking it. Then my daughter works in the medical field. And she said she seen an article where it was absolutely horrible for you, and you know, so we both listened to her, we stopped drinking it.
Yeah.
But very recently I saw a gentleman talking about one of the additives that they put into Celsius drinks, and believe it or not, it is literally the foam from waste sewage plants, the foam that develops on the top of the water where the human waste is treated, is removed and then processed and then used as a part of these energy drinks. Celsius in particular, I know for sure.
And it's at a healthy level. And I'm just like, in the world would cause that to be any way at all healthy for a human to intake? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's ridiculous. I saw the same thing. And you can look up the ingredient list, and everybody listening, you can look right on the can. Yeah. You can look up all the ingredients, and you know, you can also look up everything that you buy from the store that is processed. If you go through the ingredient list and you, just look up pros and cons or side effects and stuff like that on each ingredient. Well,
the interesting thing to do is when you find some of these chemicals that are in your cereal or whatever it is that you can't even pronounce. When you look that up, when you Google it and ask Google to query, alternative uses for, then you'll find out that that's used in pesticides, it's used in this, it's used in that, it's used in a bunch of things that don't even come close to being what we should consume. So
absolutely.
But anyway, that's my soapbox. So
that was a good soapbox, Eric.
let's get back to where the weird ones are. the weird stories in particular.
Absolutely. So I guess basically to go from there, the next experience, not only, so, you know, the shadow people in my grandparents' basement. So I still live in with my grandparents at this point. And I was 9 years old. I decided, you know, to try and take my own life, and I didn't succeed. Obviously I'm here. So 2 weeks after I did that, I was on the swing set in the backyard, and I see something out of the corner of my eye. So I just kind of like turned my head, and there was a full body apparition. Like I could see through him and everything. And his face was distorted and all wispy, so I couldn't really like make out any facial features, but I could tell he was sitting there on the other swing in like a work suit, like in a suit and tie, but it was like not dressy. It was just like for work kind of thing. Like he worked at an office or something.
So he looked like an adult.
Yes. Yeah. And I say that he was an old man, because of that. And I think just because, you know, I was a child at the time, I just associated him with an old guy, and his voice, I guess, maybe sounded old, 'cause he did talk to me, and I stared at him, and I had like this, like I was squeezing the shit out of the chains of my swing. And he's like,
how close was he?
He was like a foot or two. Like, I think there was, like, you know how the old, actually they might still do it this way, where there's like a swing and then there's like a little thing that you like kind of like pull on, like there's a bar that you swing on and then there's another swing. Like, that's how far he was. So I would say like 2 or 3 feet away from me. And
Jesus.
Yeah. And
he spoke to you?
He did. So he had something in his hands and I couldn't tell what it was because I wasn't like actually paying attention, but I remember it being stringy and it was either, what I associated it with was either a bowl of noodles, like he was eating noodles, or he was like knitting something with like yarn. Like, that's all, like, that's the only thing that I could, and it doesn't add or take away anything from the story. It's just weird. So I'm staring at him and he goes, "Be patient." And I'm like, "About what?" And he goes, "You'll know." And then I turn my head and I stare at the ground for what seemed like ever, and it was probably only like a couple seconds, maybe even a minute. And I, you know, I was like it was almost like paralysis where I just wanted to get up with every fiber of my being. I wanted to get up and just run inside, and I just could not make myself move. And then all of a sudden I finally was like, turned my head and he wasn't there. And I was like, and I was able to move again, and I got up and I didn't run, but I fast walked inside. And then I just like, I kept periodically peeking out from the curtain in the kitchen just to look outside at the swing set, and I'd just be like, "Oh, he's not there. Oh no, he's not there." But it was a weird at the time. I was just like, "What the hell?" But now looking back on it as an adult, I think that there was something to it. Like, you know, 2 weeks prior, you know, me trying to do that, and I ended up trying again at 13, and then I thought about it at 30. And I really think, so around the time when I was 30, I was thought about this, this experience, and I was like, you know, I think that it was just like a, you know, I don't know, like not an angel, not God specifically, but maybe something that along those lines that was just like, "Hey man, you know, you're going to get through it. You know, life gets better. You just got to apply yourself. You know, you know, the storm can only last for so long. It's like a light. There's a light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing," yeah. You know, basically is what I think he was trying to say, but it was like super cryptic. But at the time I was like, you know, maybe if I'm patient, I can get some candy from my mom, or my mom will let me play video games or something like that kind of thing. But as throughout my life, the more I always like thought about this experience, looking back on things, and I was like, maybe I just need to be more patient. So like, in my late 20s to now, I started thinking about it whenever I get like really frustrated or upset. I'm just like, "Oh, maybe I just need to be patient. I just need to be patient." And it's become like my mantra for my life now. Like, just be patient and things will work out.
Yeah. Is there any chance that that guy could have been a distant relative, like a great grandparent or?
I mean, it's possible. I wish he had a face, 'cause then I could definitely tell you for sure.
When he spoke, did it come out of his mouth or did you just hear it in your head?
You know what? I feel like I heard it like out loud. You know what I mean? Because his face was so distorted, I couldn't see like a mouth moving or anything. But it sounded like he like spoke literally, and it wasn't like telepathically or anything. So
interesting.
I'm pretty sure he spoke out loud.
I just wonder if that was like a family member that had passed.
Yeah. I will say that my uncle did pass, but he didn't have a job that had him in a suit, but maybe he was buried in a suit. I wasn't allowed to go to his funeral because I think I was 7 when he died. It was like right before my parents split. And so at this time, it would have been 3 years since he died. And I wasn't allowed to go to his funeral because he was like mangled. It was his 25th birthday and he was drunk. He left the bar and he struck a tree with his,
oh my word,
with his truck. So, his face was too messed up for the children to be present for it.
Jesus.
So, I mean, I don't know if he was buried in a suit, but maybe it could have been him. I know he had, you know, I know he had issues. He was an alcohol. I mean, he became, ended up being an alcoholic. So,
okay. Hang on a second now. So you couldn't see his face because it was so distorted and you weren't allowed to go to the funeral because his face was so mangled up.
Man, I'm, yeah, yeah. That's, yeah. Man, I've told this story so many times and I'd never even like put that together. I don't think anybody's ever.
Well, that's what you get when you come to Uncomfortable.
I don't think anybody's ever asked me like if it was a relative or not. But yeah, man, that's a good possibility. The fact that his face was distorted, and you know, my uncle when he died,
maybe that was the clue. Maybe that was his way of letting you know who it was.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. You want to hear something even more interesting?
Of course.
My son was born on his birthday.
Really?
And my uncle's birthday is the day after mine. So my son was born the day after my birthday. So I almost named him after my uncle because of that.
Really?
But
how old's your son?
He's 15 now.
Is he, would you consider him to be an old soul?
A little bit. Yeah. He's, actually just found God. Randomly, I never put it in his head or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I talked to him about spiritual things and stuff, and he actually went to his first ever like cryptid conference. He came with me recently, and he loves it. But yeah, he's just recently started talking about God and stuff, and he bought a little necklace that has a cross on it that says God loves you or something like that on it. So yeah, he was like the easiest baby. Fuck, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah.
He was a super easy baby. And he's just, I don't know. He surprises me all the time. There was almost like no disciplining him because he was great and he still is. So, yeah. I would say
You could do a lot worse.
Yeah. I would consider him an old soul. He likes a lot of old things. When he was younger, he loved Queen and, what the hell is his name? I keep wanting to say Bon Jovi, but I know it's not Bon Jovi. David Bowie. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
He loved Queen and David Bowie when he was little.
Good taste in music.
Yeah. And that was the era of my uncle and my dad grew up in. So those were their bands, the Queen, David Bowie, yeah. You know, Guns N' Roses and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
The more I think about it, the more things are coming. And I'm just like, you know what? Maybe there's something to that. You know, it's not that my uncle's reincarnated in my son, but.
Right. Not what I was insinuating at all, but.
Right. But yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know.
Has he ever had any kind of, odd experiences that he's told you about?
He's told me about a couple things that happened in this in his bedroom here in this house. But I don't think he, because I when he told me about this experience, I was like, have you ever had anything like before? He's like, no, it wasn't until like this house. And I almost wonder, because it scared him. It was just like, I think he saw a figure in his room or something like that. Or, and then there was another day that he came up to his bedroom and he had a stuffed animal that he, like, because he doesn't really care about stuffed animals, but he keeps them because, you know, nostalgia.
Yeah.
And one of them was just sitting perfectly in the middle of his bed when he came, when he got into his room. And he's just like, he called me. He's like, Dad. And, you know, I come up and he's like, my stuffed animal's sitting in the in the middle of my bed. And I looked at it and I was like, did you put it there? And he goes, no. He's like, I just got in here. And I was like, are you pulling my leg? Like, are you doing this on like trying to like fool me or something like that? And he's like, no. He's like, I came in here. It was sitting like that. He goes, I didn't put it there. And I mean, my dog was sitting on the bed, but he's like, it was off in the corner of his bed. Cause he like, I don't know. He likes to have them around his head. And when he goes to bed for some reason, it's kind of, yeah. It's not that it's weird, but I mean, it's just makes him comfortable. But he's like, it was off in the corner. He goes, the only thing that I can think of is that maybe Rizzo moved it, but he goes, but to be sitting perfectly in the center of the bed is really weird. And I was like, that is weird. He goes, and I go, maybe that is something. And I almost wonder, because he's starting to develop like a faith in God, I almost wonder if something's just trying to fuck with him to, you know, maybe pull him away or manipulate him in some kind of way. Because all this started pretty much happening recently, when he started to, you know, think about God and whatnot. So,
this is a deep question. And if you don't want to answer it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask it. Like your faith and the faith of everyone else in the house. Just judging by how you said that your son found God and has developed an interest in that. I kind of get the feeling that maybe you're not a very spiritual household.
So, I am, but I don't, I've never, opposed my views or opinions on my children, cause I'd prefer them to develop their own. But if they ask me questions, I'll say, this is what I believe. So they've always known that I believe in something bigger and greater than myself.
Yeah.
And they always known that I believe in a spiritual realm. If they ask, you know, I tell them, you know, and they know about my podcast, that my son actually listens to my podcast, which I think is another reason why he may have started to turn to faith, to believing in God, because a lot, you know, recently, especially from friends that I've made through the podcast and everything, like, I think that I might be, myself might be becoming Christian. Like, I'm starting to believe as well. You know what I mean? Not that I never did. I feel it more stronger. And, you know, I prayed for the very first time in my life, just this weekend, with the, coming of my newest child, my daughter.
Again, so let's wish everybody, wish him, Kevin and his family, congratulations, because they just had a baby that was, potentially going to interrupt, the recording of this, this episode, but he came on Friday, and that's, what a great time, man.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was beautiful. It was looking like it was becoming complicated. Her heart rate kept dropping and stuff while she was in labor. And they were very concerned for the, not like super concerned to the point where it was like an emergency, but they were like, it's kind of weird that the baby's heart rate keeps dropping randomly. And they would, you know, change her, position and stuff like that. And, then they started talking about cesarean, and then she started crying, and then I started crying, and then I went to the bathroom and I just stood in the mirror and I just had a praying session for the very first time. Like, everything, I was just like, please, everything come out all right. You know what I mean? And it did. And I'm not saying that it was because of prayer, but you know, I just happened to pray and everything turned out to be all right. And what happened was, we did end up doing the C-section. So her umbilical cord was there was a knot in her umbilical cord. So every time she would at a certain position, they think that it was blocking. She would be laying on the umbilical cord and tightening that knot to where she wasn't getting whatever she needed, and it was causing her heart rate to drop a little bit. So, but thankfully, she came out. She's healthy, and she looks exactly like my daughter. Who looks exactly like me. And I apologize to my daughter all the time. I'm like, I'm so sorry. She's like, why? And I'm like, because you look exactly like me. But yeah.
So you alluded earlier things going on in the house that you're in currently. And then mm-hmm. with your son's stuffed animal showing up in the middle of the bed. What kind of things are you dealing with there?
All right. Nothing super negative. There's been one experience that scared the shit out of me. Everything has been kind of like just plain. So shadow figures in the hallway. The studio used to be my bedroom, and I ended up moving my bedroom downstairs to where the studio used to be. And I moved the studio up here, just because this space is a little bit smaller and I felt like I needed a bigger space for my bedroom. Especially with the baby and whatnot. But anyway, so I would used to sleep in here. I always leave my bedroom door open and I would just see them and just be like peeking in the doorway, or they'd be in the back of the hallway in the corner, just standing there, or they'd be standing in my son's doorway. Or sitting on the floor, which was the weirdest thing, but they never did it again. They never did anything. They never moved, until I walked towards them. The very first like month that I was living here, I was laying in bed. Nobody was home. And it was just me and my dog, and my dog's head was resting on my leg. And I was like on my back, I mean on my belly, with just like my leg kind of up and bent, and that's where her head was. So I was looking at her, and the doorway was behind me, and she just kind of like lifts her head like she was looking at somebody and that was entering the room. And I looked at her and I was like, what the hell? Cause I had just like woken up. And then she puts her head down like, you know, everything's all right. And then as soon as her head was down, I felt a weight on my bed right near my feet, like somebody had just sat down next to my feet. And I was just like, what the hell was that? So I really sat there for a minute, and then I got like this sensation that it was another uncle who had just recently passed at that time, because I had another uncle that passed away in 2019, and like he's like the epitome of what a man should be, in my opinion. I looked up to him so much. He was, you know, a great person and stuff like that. And I had just gone through like this horrible breakup. She broke me like really bad, to the point where I was like, I'm gonna just gonna be single for the rest of my life, because I don't want to deal with that shit ever again. And I just feel like at that time, like he was there to be like, everything's going to be all right kind of thing. If it was him, I don't know. Cause I didn't see anything. I just got this like weird, like sensation. And I like envisioned his face just looking at me, smiling at me, and just be like, hey bud, like he used to every time he ever saw me. And then everything was all right. And I turned around, nothing was there. I never felt the weight lift, and you know, I looked at that part of the bed and it wasn't, nothing was sitting there, but it was really weird. And you know, they say animals can see the other realm and stuff, so
mm-hmm.
And so there was that, there's the shadow figures, And then the scariest thing and the last thing that has really happened, I haven't seen shadow figures recently in the, like, the past couple months. I actually had a woman on, I think you know her, JJ Rose, and she did a clearing. And ever since she has been here in my house, there hasn't been. Yeah. And now she's not here physically. She's here spiritually.
Right.
Since she's been here, there hasn't been anything going on, which I'm extremely grateful to her for. But so again, I was in this room, and my girlfriend now, we were just starting to see each other, and she had just left my house, and I was laying in my bed, and I wake up, I just fallen asleep, and I wake up to my name. So I was like, Kevin, and I'm like, and I thought she had came back. And so I just kind of lift my head and I see this shadow figure come into my room. And this is the completely different from all the other shadow figures, because I could see more features. There was an hourglass figure. It was a woman. So I could see, you know, the curves and everything. And she had long flowing hair, but she was completely black. And she came into my room. She wasn't super fast, but she was, you know, she was moving pretty good. And I had that, you know, that paralysis where I couldn't move. And my heart started pounding. And the best way I could describe the way that she moved was like C-3PO. It was just like very robotic, like coming in. And I was just like, oh my God. And I saw my phone out of the corner of my eye. So in my hands, like, cause I was kind of like laid sprawled out. And I start wiggling my fingers, trying to inch my hand towards my phone, and she's still coming. And I'm looking at her and then darting to the side to see my phone, see how close my hand is getting to my phone. And it's almost not moving at all. And just as she gets to the foot of my bed, you know, it kind of like breaks, and I grab my phone and I sit up at the same time and light up my room with my phone, and there's nothing there, and I'm sweating and I'm breathing heavily. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I thought I was going to die just now, because she was just about to climb onto my bed when I lit up my room with my phone, and that scared the crap out of me. There's only been like two incidences that I've had that scared the crap out of me, and that was one of them. And I don't ever want to experience that again. And it was strange.
Was she menacing? I mean,
yeah.
Were you just freaking out because she didn't belong there and you knew something funky was going on, or was there a menacing feel to her being there?
The way that she was moving when she was coming towards me was definitely menacing. It was just like, it's hard to describe, but she's, you know, kind of like, it was freaky, and I think the way that she was moving was what actually really scared me. And the fact that she was coming towards me at a decent pace, was also scary, because again, I've never actually seen a shadow figure move. So I saw that, and I started telling people immediately the next morning. I was like, oh my God, you would never guess what happened to me. And, I quickly, like, I was like, that wasn't a shadow figure. That was something disguising itself as a shadow figure. Like, there's something that wanted me to think that it was a shadow figure for whatever reason. I don't know. But JJ, again, she came after that had happened, and she said she found something cowering in the corner, and then she removed it, and I haven't seen absolutely nothing since, and my kids haven't reported anything, so fingers crossed.
JJ is great, man. She's the real deal.
She really is. She is, and she's super nice.
She is very awesome. Lovely person.
Mm-hmm. I would agree 110%. I will say though, there was one other incident that happened. I was sitting down to record with somebody, and somebody knocked on my door. And I looked down at my dog because she was in the studio at the time. I was like, was that your tail or somebody at the door? And I just said, come in. Nobody comes in. And it's only me and my dog again here that night. And I got up and I opened the door and nobody's there. I'm just like, that's weird. And then I just kind of like, just in case, like somebody was trying to mess with me. Or if it was a ghost, you know, I just jumped out and like karate chopped the space in the side of the hallway. I'm just like, yeah, because everybody knows ghosts get they die when you karate chop them. You know what I mean?
They do.
Go away.
They die again.
So that's what I did. Like, and I'm not like even I'm not even kidding. Like, I just was like, oh. And I was like, all right. There's nothing here. I don't know what's happening. Maybe it's just my imagination. Again, it could have been my dog's tail, but it didn't. Like, I looked at her and she was kind of like sleeping a little bit. So I don't know if it was or wasn't, but it was definitely a knock of some kind, and it sounded like it was coming from
my door. She didn't react to the sound?
No, she didn't. No.
So, would she normally react to a sound like that?
Especially a door, yeah, she would have. So maybe it was her tail, but it definitely freaked me out for a quick second. I was like, huh, what? Come in. Oh, nope, you're not coming in. All right, I'll open the door for you. But
the paranormal karate ass kicker. That's great. God, I can just picture that in my head.
Yeah. I've done that a few times. I did it a lot when I was a kid too. When I was scared to go to the bathroom or something, I definitely jumped out like that when I was a kid a lot. So it was a lot of karate chopping and just in case something was there, and singing, because, you know, if you serenade them, they're not going to hurt you.
Yeah. You need to write a book about this stuff, ways to keep ghosts and shadow people from messing with you. Yeah. I think these are some very, not very well known techniques that you've developed.
They've worked for me. Maybe they'll work for you.
It could save the lives of many paranormal investigators.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man. But I will tell you, the mushroom people story now, if you're ready for that.
Yeah. We gotta do that. You gotta wow me with this, cause my brain's been going everywhere with the idea of this.
All right. So when I was a kid, I wore glasses. And so this was right after, but a year after I saw the apparition on the swing set. So I was still living with my grandparents, and my sister and I, my grandparents lived on a cul-de-sac. My sister and I would ride our bikes around, you know, and pretend that we were hunting monsters or aliens and whatnot. And this particular day there happened to be
I gotta know, did you have like a karate type dismount from your bike when you encountered the monsters?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right.
Especially when there was snow, because we still rode our bikes even when there was snow. And I know how dangerous that is because of ice, but we did it anyway. And I would definitely dismount my bike and jump into the freaking snowbanks doing karate chops and kicks and stuff like that. And my sister was like, what are you doing? I was just like, you never know.
Are you trained in martial arts?
A little bit. I did it when I was a kid, and then I started it again when I was 18. I actually did amateur cage fighting for a little bit before my son was born. So they were trying to teach me, you know, some jujitsu, yeah, with wrestling and the paying them and then the traveling and stuff like that for the fights got way too expensive. And I was just like, you guys are like throwing too much at me, and I'm paying you a lot, and I'm not retaining any of this stuff. So,
right.
But I did.
All right, back to the mushroom people.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just had a no.
Yeah, no, it's all right. So, there happened to be just a light dusting of snow this particular day. And for whatever reason, we needed to hurry up and we could only stay out for a little bit. So I was like, let's go on monsters. And my sister's like, yeah. So we go outside, we're riding our bikes around, and we see these squirrel tracks in the snow. And it's just like, the snow was just like a sheet of paper basically. That's how much snow there was. And so we start walking into the woods or following these squirrel tracks, because the squirrel tracks, they look like three things, because their two back feet or their two front feet are like almost together. So it looks like, you know, something is, it's a monster footprint. So we're following it, and we come to this creek, and this creek I used to, you know, catch frogs in all the time and stuff when it was nicer out. And all of a sudden, just this like blue tent covered my eyes. And I was just like, what the hell? And then like a flip of the switch, there's no snow, nothing. And like 10, maybe 15 feet ahead of me is this little village of mushroom people. And they're stoking a fire. They're just like throwing these like little twigs into a fire. And they're not like, they don't look like people. And they don't look like, they had like no people features. They were just mushrooms that were moving around like people. So they were like 3 inches tall, like a mushroom popping out of the ground, but they had arms. They didn't have faces. So like, they weren't like Toad from Mario or anything like that. And they were just moving around. They had like these, they looked like little huts made out of mushrooms as well. And like some of them went up around the trees and stuff. And, you know, they're throwing sticks into this big fire. Well, big to them, but it was in the center of like all their little huts and stuff. And I'm looking at it and I was just like, what is happening? And then I get a tap on my head, and my head just kind of like lunges forward, and my glasses fall off my face, and I feel something on my shoulder, and I look at it, and like, and it's a mushroom on my shoulder. And telepathically, it spoke to me, and he goes, you know, you don't need those. And I was like, my glasses? He's like, yeah. And then, and I'm staring at it like this, and just like, bam, all of a sudden my sister's standing there, and I turn my head. I don't see mushroom people, or anything. It's just all snow in a regular landscape as it was before. And my sister, I'm staring at my sister. She's like, you all right? And I was like, I dropped my glasses. So I get down on my hands and knees, and I'm just like kind of like looking for them. Like, did it fall? Did it get under some leaves or whatever? And my sister comes over. She's like, where are they? Where are they? And you just hear crunch. And we're like, oh no. So like instantly my mind went from, I got to tell my sister this, what just happened to me, to my glasses are broken and I need them fixed. So I pick them up and I run home. And, you know, I tell my mom.
So she did actually step on your glasses and not one of the mushroom houses, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So I run home and I tell my mom, and my mom's like, you know, you have an appointment in like 2 weeks or so. So I'm not going to get you a new pair in case your prescription, you know, needs to be upped or whatever. And I was like, oh, shit. So now I have to go a couple weeks without glasses at all. So then we get to the doctor's appointment, and they're testing my eyes or whatnot. And, you know, the doctor comes in after they did the tests and stuff like that. And he sits down and he's reading over the charts and stuff. And he goes, yeah, he goes, your eyes are pretty good. He goes, yeah, I don't think you need glasses. And my mom's like, what? And I was just like, huh? And he's like, yeah, he's like, maybe, you know, wear them for, you know, reading, writing, and watching TV or whatever. But he goes, yeah, you don't really need glasses anymore. And it was just like mind blowing. So ever since then, I haven't worn glasses, and my vision has been, you know, pretty good, which back then it wasn't that great. So
this area that you were at.
Yeah.
Where you saw the mushroom people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a place that you frequented even in good weather?
Yes. Yep. I went.
Did you ever come across anything that would have been a circle, like on the ground with, you know, like maybe oddly placed rocks in a circle or stones or.
Not that I can recall. I don't think I've ever actually noticed, but I like the little creek ran right through it, kind of like, so the creek would go, and then when I saw it, I remember I saw it just on the other side of the creek. So I was like right in front of the creek, and it was just on the other side. But you know, every time I've ever been out there, I just don't think I paid attention enough to, you know, my surroundings to really say that.
I'm almost wondering if that what you experienced was something very much akin to the Fae.
Yeah, that's.
I was wondering if you had ever seen anything like a fairy circle.
Yeah,
or fairy ring.
Not that I can recall. Not out there. I've seen some weird.
Were they aware of you?
Yeah.
Like when you saw them, were they aware of you?
The ones in the village, I want to say some of them stopped and looked at me, but I can't remember if that's actually true. But when I saw the only one that acknowledged me was the one that landed on me. And I don't know where it came from. Maybe it dropped from a tree, or I don't know. But I think that's what tapped me on the head and caused my glasses to fall off. And then it was just like on my shoulder. So that's the only one that I know that acknowledged me. Obviously it talked to me. And then the ones across the way, I feel like some of them stopped and looked at me, but I could be incorrect.
Did they, from what you remember, did they have any kind of features whatsoever about them? I mean, were they mushrooms with faces, or
they were just like
mouths?
They were just mushrooms. There was no eye from what I could see, like the one that was on my shoulder, which would be the closest one. All I could see was like an arm. So it was just like a stem. And then it looked like two little other stubs on the sides of it. And then there was no eyeball. It just looked like a regular mushroom.
Like the domed head, the cap of the mushroom was on it and everything.
Yeah. And it spoke to me telepathically. It moved and everything. And it just, I didn't see any eyeballs. I didn't see any mouth or anything. It was just a plain old mushroom with two stub looking things as arms.
How did you not spend your entire childhood just shitting your pants?
I don't know.
With all that stuff, I'd have been running around as a 10-year-old kid still wearing a diaper because I would have been shitting myself constantly.
Yeah. I will say that I did a regression, and that memory came out of a regression therapy. So regression hypnotic, whatever hypnosis. You call it, hypnosis. There's a lot of trauma with my childhood between me and my mother, and so I guess I basically either just forgot it or something. I'm really hoping that it's not like a figment of my imagination. But I pulled out a couple memories, and that just so I remember everything around it. Like I remember going out into the woods, and then I remember my glasses, my sister stepping on my glasses. And I remember my doctor being like, huh, you know, your eyes are fine. That's weird.
And your sister knew nothing of the mushroom people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And she didn't see any of it.
Yeah. When I did this regression, I actually talked to her about it, and she's like, you know, I remember breaking your glasses, and I remember being out. We were out in the woods all the time. She goes, but this memory is more like it shaped you. She goes, so I'm not going to remember it as fondly as you, you know what I mean? And, she's like, I went out in the woods with you all the time. And I remember stepping on your glasses, but that's about all I could tell you. So yeah. Cause I was like, well, I remember you being like, are you all right? She's like, I just don't remember it the way, like as well, the way that you do, because it was different. It was a different experience between the two of us. So she's like, and nothing, it doesn't stand out to me as it does for you, because obviously your glasses were broken, and then you find out that your eyes are fine. And now that you've done this regression, you remember this. And she's like, I can't like put validity to it for you.
Without digging into I mean, you said a lot of trauma associated with you and your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume breaking your glasses and having to go home and tell this woman that you broke your glasses would have been a shit your pants moment, because it would not have bode well for you.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, which surprisingly, she just said some curse words and that was it. And I was expecting more. So, which it was hard to tell with her. Like it was hard to tell how she was going to react to certain things on certain days.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of things between her and I, and now, you know, I love her because she's my mom, and like, I'm not saying that she was the worst mothers, but there was definitely a lot of unnecessary things that, you know, she did to both me and my sister, to be honest. And I think that's what another thing that connects me and my sister so much is because we went through the same abuse. Yeah. And my older brother was the first kid, so he was an angel. And then my younger brother was the baby, so he was an angel. And then everything just fell on me and my sister. And my mom had a resentment towards my dad, and because of the divorce and everything. And I happen to look exactly like my dad. So she's just associated me with my dad. My sister absolutely now, as adults, my sister hates anybody putting any kind of parallels between me and my father. She's like, he's not my dad. So like at work. So me and my dad work together now. And a lot of the people call me Junior, which first of all, I hate. But I let them so that they can associate the difference between me and my dad. And yeah. My sister's boyfriend actually worked with us for a little bit too. And he referred to me as Junior to her. And she's like, don't fucking call him Junior. His name is Kevin. So ever since then, he's never referred to me as Junior again, but yeah, so my glasses being broken definitely was, I was like the main reason why I panicked and probably just put this memory to the back. Cause I wanted to tell my sister once I saw her, but I was like, my glasses, I wanted to get my glasses and then I was going to tell her, and then they were broken and I just freaked out and I was like, oh shit. But I needed them, so I absolutely needed to tell my mother because I needed another pair. But at the same time, it was very nerve-wracking to tell her things like that. For sure.
So when it happened, you had... Are you drinking a Celsius?
No. It does look like one, though, don't it?
It is. It's a Corona. So my two cents... is as at that age, your glasses get broke.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how your mom's going to react. Your little brain concocts this crazy story of how it's not your fault. The mushroom hit you on the head and your glasses fell off.
Mm-hmm.
You get home. And you're surprised by the fact that your mom doesn't flip shit and react the way you expected her to. You forgot about coming up with that story to blame the breaking of the glasses on the mushroom people. And that in that regressive therapy, that memory of you concocting that story got pulled out.
That's plausible for sure. For sure. Cause when that memory came out, cause I don't know where, I mean, I'm like, did I dream it? Did I make it up? Or like, did it really happen? And for a while, I'm crazy. Like this, there's no way that this had happened. But it feels very real. And I remember it like ever since bringing that out. Like I see it, I can see it happening in my mind's eye. Like it was like, it's a real memory and I want it to be real, but like I've told some, when I tell the story a lot to a lot of people, like I'm just not 100% sure it really happened. Now everything around it definitely did happen. Like all the real world stuff and not like the other realm kind of thing. Like I remember everything around it actually happening. And I, you know, again, like I want it to be real, but I'm not 100% sure. And
that's a crazy one, man. If that really happened, well, and I think we talked before we even started recording. I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, same.
And you've tried to research it and you've not been able to find anything.
Yep. Yeah, and I told this this story to Tony Merkel as well. And he was just like, "Do you play Dungeons and Dragons?" And I was like, I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. He's like, "Cuz the only thing that I can find on it is, you know, a character from Dungeons and Dragons." I was like, "Oh, interesting." Makes me wish that I played Dungeons and Dragons now. Because now I'm interested, like I've still haven't like looked into the Dungeons and Dragons thing. He's like, maybe I'll put it on my Reddit and see if there's anything, and I haven't heard anything back about that, but yeah, it was interesting for sure. It's an interesting story. I hope it's real just because I want it to be, but you know, I'm not going to pretend that it is 100%. Like it definitely could just be a thing that that resided in the backspace of my mind. And with the regression of trying to heal past traumas, which there's other things that came out with it that, you know, was with my mom that I was just trying to heal parts of me. And that came out with it. And I was just like, what the hell? And, it might not be real. So, and I'm not going to pretend, and I've never pretended like it's 100% real. I've been open and honest about that. Like, you know, cause not everything is spooky or, paranormal, you know what I mean? So there's some things that can be explained. And this could have just, like you said, like something that I made it up because I was a kid and I didn't want to be in trouble for breaking my glasses because I wasn't sure how my mother was going to react. And or maybe it was a dream that happened to be around that time and it just came out as that. But either That's way, possible. My eyesight was phenomenally better.
That is understated. In this, that is something weird because I'm not aware that that's something that typically happens, that your eyesight gets better.
Right. And it's interesting because now my daughter wears glasses too. And my younger brother and my older brother both wear glasses. So it's me and my sister are the only ones, and everybody remembers me wearing glasses. And then all of a sudden I just stopped wearing glasses. Because I just didn't need them anymore all of a sudden out of nowhere. So I think that's the part that, first of all, it's the coolest thing, because if the experience is real, then they healed me. But if the experience isn't real and I made it up, I just don't know what would have caused my eyes just to random. I mean, maybe going the 2 weeks, two, three, maybe 3 weeks without the glasses, my eyes just like started adjusting themselves or something. I really don't know.
Kevin Sapiel, ladies and gentlemen, host of Where the Weird Ones Are. Kevin, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, man. I really appreciate you. Thanks for the cool stories. And if you will, again, for the listeners, let everybody know where you're at, where they can find you, and what you got going on.
All right, sir. So thank you for having me on. It was an honor. I've been listening to your show for the better part of a year or two now.
Oh, wow. So thank you so much.
You're not a problem, man. You do wonderful. I definitely love that. Your voice and your cadence. Like, you could do audiobooks, man, and I would friggin' consume that shit like nobody else. But yeah, again, so it's Where the Weird Ones Are. I'm on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. I'm on Instagram if you're interested in, you know, following the weird stuff that I do, and, you know, being on top of, you know, who's coming up next for stories and stuff. And so it's Where_the_weird_ones_are on Instagram, Where the Weird Ones Are on Facebook, and then I have a website, wheretheweirdonesarepodcast.com. And if anybody out there listening to this is interested in being a guest on my show to tell their weird stories, you can reach me at either the Facebook or the Instagram, or you can email me at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com, and I would greatly appreciate it. And I'm so happy that you guys listen to Eric, because he's phenomenal. So Eric, thank you for having me on tonight. It was a pleasure talking to you.
It was a pleasure talking to you too, man. I appreciate the kind words. Ladies and gentlemen, his show is good. Head over there, check it out. Make sure you leave him a 5-star. After you get done listening to a couple of episodes, leave him a nice review. Helps the algorithm. Don't be one of these jerks that decides to get behind the keyboard and leaves a crappy review. If you don't like it, just don't listen to it and move on. There's no reason to ruin all the hard work and effort that these podcasters go through to get their show out. So
absolutely, well said.
Again, Kevin, been a pleasure, man. Look forward to continued relationship with you. And I think maybe we talked about may end up being able to hear me on Kevin's show here in the future.
So. Absolutely, in a couple weeks.
All right, sir. Good night, and thank you.
Good night.